Faking Friends by Jane Fallon. Read by Sally Scott and Kristen Atherton.
Prologue. Why are you ringing me at 5:30 in the morning? Is everything okay? I can hear the concern in his voice. Even though he's 3 years younger than me, my brother's always been the protective one. I'm not in New York. I'm in London, remember? Thankfully, he does.
Of course, the big surprise. How is it? Are you having a lovely time?
Not really, I say. I don't know how to begin to tell him that I'm currently sitting on my bed, looking at a suitcase full of another woman's clothes. That I found unfamiliar toiletries in my bathroom. That a week ago, I had both a job and a boyfriend that I loved. And now, I don't seem to have either. What's up? I lie back on my bed in the bedroom I painted myself on the duvet cover Jack and I chose together and stare at the ceiling.
You still there, Amy?
Later, I type a text. Guess what? I'm coming home for the weekend. I arrive late tonight. Flight gets in about 8:30. Don't tell Mel. Big surprise. Call you later. Love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. I press send before I can change my mind. Part 1. Chapter 1. The second my plane hit the runway, I was already beginning to wonder if I'd done the right thing. Didn't surprise visits always end in disaster? But up until the moment the flight took off, a big part of me had been worried that I would have to cancel at the last minute, that work would call and say they rejigged things again and they needed me after all, so it had seemed safer not to tell anyone. No expectations, no disappointment. That was my rationale. And besides, I thought, it would be fun. Not to mention the fact that I needed a bit of home comfort. I was still reeling from my big news. It felt, to be honest, a bit like the world was about to end. But I knew deep down that I was overreacting. I'd always known it was a possibility. I had watched as many others had suffered the same fate. I just hadn't been expecting it to be so sudden. I'd been living in New York for 7.5 months. In 2 weeks, I'd be home for good. And I thought that breaking the news to Jack face to face would help, because sad though he'd be for me that I was losing my job, I was pretty sure his main reaction would be happiness, that I was coming home, that we could get on with setting a date for the wedding we'd announced before I'd left, that we'd be back to being a normal couple who lived together rather than more than 3,000 miles apart. And I knew that would rub off on me. I needed a bit of perspective. My heart was kicking up a storm as I approached our road, sweaty and overtired with the jet lag that was kicking in already. I have never done anything like this, flown halfway around the world on a whim. Over and over again, I'd been imagining Jack's face when he found me at home. Shock, but I had no doubt it would be quickly followed by sheer delight. I knew, of course, that he would already have left for work by the time I arrived, but there was always a chance he'd have taken the day off sick or as a random holiday. Not that I have ever known him to do either of those things. He loves his job. Or at least, he loves his work, which is in advertising. He's finding his actual job a bit frustrating. He's impatient to move on and up. I'd spent the whole flight trying to decide what I would do. Should I hide and jump out on him? Might give him a heart attack. Stand proudly beside a lovingly cooked meal with a serving spoon in my hand. Two Stepford Wives. Or be lounging on the sofa wearing nothing but a basque. He'd probably laugh. Also, the slight hitch that I don't own a basque, wouldn't know where to buy one if you paid me. I barely know what one is. In the end, I decided that booze was the way to go. Wine bottle in one hand, glasses in the other. Don't tell me I don't know the way to a man's heart. Or a woman's, for that matter. I was already planning a trip to the offie around the corner. I lugged my way-too-big-for-the-weekend suitcase up the stairs. I was transporting as much of my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?